Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 411 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I have two guests. Separately via Skype, I'm joined by director Samuel Wyden and actor Bryce Connor, and together we're going to talk Greater Tuna out at Chapin's Barn Dinner Theater. So we're going to get into those conversations just after, you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Well, all right. So, IDSers, we're joined via Skype by director Samuel Whited as he directs Greater Tuna at Chapin's Barn Dinner Theater. Welcome, Sam. How are you?
Oh, I'm just peachy. How are you?
as he wrapped up in as we suffer through our first polar vortex of the season.
Right.
So
it's a lovely polar vortex. I mean, if you're going to order one, I've got light streaming in the windows. It's just very, very cold light is the only problem.
Well, I just left out. They were like, "Oh no, it's not. No. This happens all the time." Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't remember this happening all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, the further we push ourselves into denial, the more we have to manufacture history to go with it.
So. Yeah, that's true. So, as we record this, you've opened, correct?
Yes, we opened last night.
And so I know the script is challenging for the actor in that they play multiple roles and stuff. What's been your challenge as the director for this process for you?
I think just from a purely technical side, probably the biggest challenge for any director for this show is making all the pieces work. I think that we probably lose sight of the fact that the way that the piece started was two guys got together and they decided that they wanted to bring this mythical town alive, just the two of them. And I think that as they were doing that, they kind of had a really good idea of how they wanted to do that and how they would fit together. And so they built the piece from the bottom up together, which means that when they started talking about changing characters, all of the costume changes were inherent, all of the location changes were inherent, all of those pieces were something that kind of came together all at the same time. Mm-hmm. So they weren't having to take it apart and figure out how things worked. So anyone producing it going forward is having to find a way to make the sequence of events work and make sure that everyone can get dressed and get back on stage. You know,
right.
From a purely technical standpoint, that's probably the hardest part of that. Artistically, it's just, I think that there's a danger with this show the same way there is with The Foreigner or with any show in which there's like a heavy influence of Kiyoquil characters. I think you've got to be careful that you're not commenting on the characters, that you just let the characters be who they are. Mm-hmm. And granted, unlike Well, no, we have specific villains in Foreigner, but there aren't really villains per se in this piece. There are conflicts, but it's all has to do with, you know, situation comedy. It's all to do with what's going on in their lives day to day. And there are some people in this show that are not particularly likable, but you find yourself sympathetic to them anyway, just because of the things that they go through. I think there's something to be said with trying to be even-handed and make sure that, you know, you're not commenting on the people or on their troubles. You're just giving them a chance to let people see into their lives things that are just naturally funny.
Right.
I hope that's what we're doing anyway. That was the goal.
That was the stated objective. Okay.
That's right.
So in at the barn, you're in the back space, correct? So how is that? It's an incredibly intimate space. How is that for this show?
I think it's perfect for the show, particularly for the show to be viewed in. Needless to say, the smaller the space you get into, the harder it is to make anything function. There's just less room in which to operate. I'm about to face the same thing going back to the Christmas show for Tennessee Rep, doing Christmas Story. The way that we have the hall configured, the space behind the set is very, very narrow. And I actually feel like I had a little bit of a leg up going into this space for this. We've got changes happening constantly just behind that wall. And the same thing goes on for A Christmas Story. And so it was like, okay, this is a question about being able to orchestrate in a small space. How can we, first off, maximize the space that we've got and the organizational capacity of that space? So I felt like I had a little bit of an advantage there. But on the whole, the space itself isn't that great an obstacle, and it's such a benefit to have those characters sitting in your lap when you're seeing the show. If you feel like you can, you know, that you are standing right next to them or sitting right next to them while they're talking to you, it makes it a lot easier for them to be able to convey what goes on in the lives of these characters. You don't have to worry about having to reach across a distance to actually connect with them.
Mm-hmm. What do you think this play has legs? What do you think audiences relate to this play so much? Or don't they? I don't know.
Well, I think the show has legs. There's no question about it. That's proven without me saying a word. And I can point out any specific thing to say, well, it's really funny. The character's really funny. Their situations are funny. They are still relatable, particularly in this market. And I mean, the guys, when they built it, they're from, you know, Texas. They built it for Texas in Oklahoma. And this was something where they were kind of just turning a mirror on what they were seeing all the time. And there's an interesting push and pull there, and I certainly it's something that's recognizable throughout the South anyway. And I think that one of the reasons it has legs is because we see these guys and we know them, and we or these girls, these women, all of those characters are relatable in one way or another, sometimes in a positive way, not always, but still there's a connection there easily. And then just the show is just funny. I mean, it's just a well constructed show as far as being able to go through all of these different things in really a small span of time. I mean, it's about an hour and a half as far as the material goes. Of course, all those pesky laughs creep in and make it get bigger, but it's a tour de force for two people to do in the first place, where you've got two talents that can actually crank out these different distinct people from the beginning to the end. That in itself is a draw. Is to watch. It's like watching virtuoso performers. Anybody who's able to carry these roles, they've got to be good. So I think that's a big part of it right there.
What do you think what was the challenge or the trick, not tricks, but what technique do you think for each character? Do you think it was, did you work on this character has a certain walk or this character has a certain vocal pattern? Or
I'll be honest with you. I, for the most part, was... for those of you listening who don't know, if you're a smart director, you work as little as you possibly can. You hire really smart people, talented people who know what they want to do and how they want to do it. And in the course of, you know, the audition process, you find out if that's compatible with what it is you're doing. And then you put them together and you let them do the show. That's really what it comes down to. And in my case, it wasn't very much different. There were a couple of places where there might be a little more similarity between characters than what we wanted, and I would point that out, and then they'd make another choice, and off they'd go. As far as the choices that the actors are making, yes, they. I'm working with some really talented guys who immediately go for posture, for rhythm, for different voice, and in the voices they're looking at also a question of either tempo or pitch or speed, or you know, I'm speed tempo. They had a really good idea of who they were when they started, of who they wanted these people to be. How much of that you'll have to ask, like Bryce, about, you know, how many of these people he knows personally, how much of that influenced what he did. But on the whole, for me, it's really been a question of shepherding on behalf of the script to make sure that things, you know, kept along at a pretty good pace, to make sure that the turnarounds were good for ends of scenes, stuff like that. And there are scenes in it, if you're not familiar with the show, there are scenes that are in it that are not funny, that are actually kind of poignant. That it's interesting to watch the actors go from funny to meaningful in that small amount of space. It's just like a quick little turnaround. All of a sudden, you're thinking about something you wouldn't have been thinking about. So it's for me, it's been a simple question of making sure that I got smart guys and then got out of the way. That's what it was for me.
All right, so we're going to talk to Bryce next, but who is the other actor?
That would be Adam Burnett.
Okay.
Old friend of mine from old barn days, back when I was out there in the late 80s, early 90s.
Cool.
Great guy, very talented.
Yes, he is. So how long does this run?
I'm sorry, their close date is December 6th, officially. Greater Tuna is.
Okay.
and then Christmas Tuna starts December 11th.
Cool. Same cast, same...
Same cast, and we're trying to build it in such a way that there's an extra benefit for those who saw the first one, that there will be inside jokes continuing over from the first to the second. So.
Cool. Well, all right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And don't let Bryce say anything ugly about me, because he likes to do that.
I won't.
Take care, John.
All right, IDSers, so I'm joined by one of the actors from Greater Tuna, Bryce Connor. So welcome, Bryce. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. I've had a conversation with Sam, and... he's told me not to let you say anything negative about him, so fire away.
I couldn't think of anything negative if I tried.
fire away. Now, so we talked a little bit about this skit here, and have you counted? How many total characters do you play?
Oh my gosh, I haven't counted. I want to say off the top of my head six or seven.
So how do you, what was your technique for differentiating each character? Do you know these people in your own personal life that you kind of pulled from, or was it more of a, this person walks this way?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Growing up around here in Tennessee, I think we got a lot of the Southern charm, but we got a lot of the stereotypical characters, if you will. And I work a day job at retail, so I have a lot of interesting regular customers that come in there that I will pull a few people from. But as far as differentiating them, like just getting to know, you know, throughout the rehearsal process, each person, that kind of helped find a voice for them. And then once you have a voice for them, like a, you know, an accent or a voice for them, that seemed to give them the most realness, if you will, for me.
Uh-huh. So who's your favorite character?
Thurston Wheelis. Thurston, he's my favorite. He's you know, he's one of the radio jockeys at radio station OKKK. and he's my favorite. He's just the innocent one, it seems like. He just reports what happens around him.
So how would he describe today?
How would he describe today?
Yeah, tell what happened to you, to him today or to you that he would describe.
Well, I had to go out and work at the hardware store, and I had a lot of interesting people. I had to help them with a lot of nuts and a lot of bolts. Things like that. On the fly.
On the fly. There you go. So, what's been the most challenging character for you to portray, Bryce?
Let's see. Probably Pearl.
Yeah.
I have some interesting old ladies in my life, but none of them quite as particular as her. Bertha was a little bit of a challenge, but I have so many, you know, strong, independent Southern ladies in my life. I was able to draw on her, on them for influences on her. Pearl, she's an odd bird. So getting her down, finding her a voice and finding her character, that was a little stretch for me.
What makes her so persnickety?
What's that?
What makes her, Pearl, so persnickety? Why is she so difficult?
I think somewhere deep down she means well, but she's out running all the kids out of her yard, poisoning all the dogs. She's just, and then she's always plotting against somebody or something, you know. She's got a heightened sense of reality around her, and so she's, you know, she's trying to plot, not getting caught about the dog, and then there's that whole scene where I'm the sheriff, Sheriff Givens, and I go right into Pearl right on stage, like, change costumes and everything right on stage in front of everybody, and so, I don't know, just finding the realness in her was hard when it was so bizarre.
So what's been the biggest, would you say that's been your biggest challenge as an actor, or has it been just kind of everything?
Switching characters so often is definitely not, you know, typically when you arrive on the set or whatever, you know who you are, you know what world you're going to. So that has been a challenge, is knowing that I'm going to this world, but I'm playing all the people in it. Mm-hmm. But the biggest, by far, trying to make the sense, you know, because I don't want to play it as a comedy outright. I want them to be real people, because that's where the funny lies, mm-hmm. for me. And so there's that one particular scene on stage where you're Sheriff Givens, and you transform into Pearl Burris right then and there in front of everybody. And that, trying to make that make sense, trying to make that real, that's always a struggle.
So you go from Greater Tuna into Tuna Christmas. How's that going to roll for you?
I'm hoping that it's a lot. I'm hoping that it's a smooth transition, since now I already know a lot of the people, already have them set. You know, I don't have to do a whole lot of, I don't have to do quite as much research on them. I've got, you know, I know who they are, and so I feel like the words will just come for them. There's a few new characters that I'm going to have to map out and figure out what makes them tick before we go too much further, but we haven't actually started rehearsing that. We just opened this the other day, and so now we get a few days to let this sink in, and then Sam cracks the whip, and there we'll be off and running again.
So it sounds like it's a very fun show to be a part of. Have you had a blast?
Oh yeah, and Adam Burnett, who's my co-star here, he's so much fun to work with. He's such a nice guy off stage, but then on stage, he eats it up and he dishes it out. I mean, he'll find little ways to pick at me on stage or whatever. And he's it's just been so much fun. I mean, when you work at the barn, you know that it's not just a castmate or whatever. You end up being kind of family-ish. So I've really enjoyed it.
Outstanding. Well, thanks for letting me chat with you today.
No, thank you.
When guests can't appear in studio, they are interviewed over Skype. Skype is a great piece of software that turns your computer into a phone. Talk computer to computer or to any phone or cell phone in the world through the Skype Out program. Interested? Download Skype via inexplicabledumbshow.com. Just look for the Download Skype button. Go ahead. Join in the fun.
All right, so that's it. I'd like to thank director Samuel Whited and actor Bryce Connor for joining me via Skype today on two separate calls to discuss Chaffin Barnes' production of A Greater Tuna and then later Tuna Christmas. So those guys are going to be busy and have lots of fun. So tickets are scarce from what I understand. So you guys in the Nashville area want to go see these guys do their wonderful things over there at the barn, get out there and get their tickets as soon as you can, whatever remaining slots are left. Ticket information will be on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, if you want to be part of the Dumb Show, please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @ inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week is our Thanksgiving Day special, so join me and my friends for some turkey next week. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality WAV files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at Magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No East. That's Blueberry, B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.